Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Epiphany is on January 6, which was Friday, and it celebrates the arrival of the wise men and the gift of Christ to the world, Jesus, a light to a world in darkness. And in some places, Epiphany is more important than others. In some places, in fact, Epiphany is more important than Christmas, such as in places in Latin America, where they celebrate Three Kings Day. In Russia, Christmas and Epiphany are celebrated together. What Epiphany does is to carry the wonder of Christmas into our everyday life. We don't leave the wonder of Christmas there safely with the nativity scene. It moves out into our everyday lives. So in the Gospel according to Matthew, we hear the story of this amazing star that shows up in the sky. And it attracts the attention of these wise men in an eastern country. And they were probably astrologers or astronomers, a mix of those two functions today. But whichever we would call them, they knew the night sky. They knew it like the back of their hand. And they knew when something different showed up. Now, many ancient peoples believed that significant world events were reflected in the stars, and so when a new star shows up, it means that something new is happening in the world. Something is changing in the world. In fact, the Magi know that this is a star that represents the birth of a king. In particular, this is the star of a new king of the Jews. So this kind of symbolism of the meaning that they attached to the star, this wasn't just something that the Gentiles did, that the wise men in the East. We see this reflected in the Old Testament, in Numbers, for instance, where we find a prophecy that a star shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This prophecy links the coming of a new star with a king who will come. A king, in fact, who will be the Messiah, the anointed Savior. So, when the Magi ask, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor and worship him." This is not something wildly unexpected. This is in the Hebrew tradition. Now, the Magi look at the stars with experience. They've got expert eyes here. They've got knowledge of what's going on. They've spent many, many years doing their stargazing. I wonder how many of us spend time looking at the stars regularly. We've got nice warm homes. We don't have to go outside at night. Do we go outside in clear weather at night to check the shape of the moon? I don't know what shape the moon is today. I don't know if it's gibbous, waning or waxing or full or crescent. Do we go outside to check on the path of the constellation Orion as it moves across the sky? Do we look for planets? Do we look for meteor showers? Some of us do, but I think for many of us, the stars are just kind of there as a backdrop. We don't really focus on them, if we can even see them for all of that. I mean, they're really pretty pretty dim when you come to a well-lit area like ours. And so we may just only be aware of a few stars there in the background, not the millions of lights that there are actually there dotting the skies. It's only when we get away to less populated, less urban areas, less well-lit areas that we can see more stars. And if you have ever been out into the desert or in the forest and just looked up, and you have probably gasped in wonder at the stars on a clear night. You may even see the stars like a carpet of light up there. Then you are seeing the stars as the ancient wise men did. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. Well, A star in Matthew really isn't important in and of itself, even though it attracts a lot of attention. But it is a sign. This star tells the wise men about the birth of Jesus, about this unexpected king, and it points the way. It directs them how to get there to Jerusalem, and then it shines over the right house in Bethlehem. That's what it meant for the wise men. For us, the star represents the light of Christ, the way that he illumines every darkness and makes it bright. The way Jesus relieves us from the darkness and night of sin and guides us to a new day of life with him. The Magi arrive at the place where the Holy Family is, and they kneel down and they worship Jesus, and they offer some expensive gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this models for us what we are to do in response to Jesus, to God come among us. We fall on our feet and we adore him. We offer him the gifts of our lives. Like the seeker in the skit that we had, and we ask a lot of questions. What's going on here? Why is this important? And like the Magi, we use what we already know. We use our wisdom and our knowledge, our experience. But you know, we don't stop there. We don't make our questions and our reason and our past experience the final rulers of our lives. No, we also make room for wonder. We make room for a new star to show up and lead us somewhere that we haven't been before. A new star to change things entirely for us. The Magi pay Jesus homage. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. So we worship at Jesus' feet, and we go home. We leave this place changed. We go home, too, by another way. To adore the Christ and to make an offering is the primary responsibility of a disciple. And the Magi show us how to do it. They show us how to be Jesus' followers. And so this celebration of the Epiphany, I invite you all to come to Jesus, come to the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, our Lord, Day Star, Light of the World. Come by whatever route you can. Adore him and give him the gift of your life. Give him a gift that costs something. Whatever you're searching for, you already know. God has blessed us with an amazing life and with eyes and ears, a mind and a heart with which to perceive this living presence of God in our midst, Christ, Emmanuel. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.